We are back. We are live here at Bobby Lackey Stadium. The first sister game for both the Edcal Chelsea Yellow Jackets and the West Lacoste Wildcats. And the captains for both teams, number 14, Artie Tanguma, number 44 for the Wildcats, meeting there at the center of the field, doing the traditional meeting there. It's already been predetermined from the first quarter who will be receiving. But just a quick note, just a couple questions here that were sent out in the chat room. Of course, Linda asking about the Edcal Chelsea Yellow Jacket Band. There are more than 20 people out there. I took a quick count. I counted about 40, maybe 45 members out there. So rest assured there is a strong showing in the band. Well, in any case, Doc over here with a great observation. Do you want to go ahead and mention what you said earlier?
Well, we're looking at the teams warming up here. We look at the Jackets. They're, you know, lighting their feet. They look relaxed, calm. That been there before attitude you've seen. I don't know. In my opinion, of course, we're way up here. I'm not down there. But the Wildcats kind of looked maybe not, I won't say tight, but, you know, not. I didn't see a fired up, let's pep in the step kind of look, attitude. At least that's just my opinion, as like I said.
Well, we'll have a real good opportunity to find out, as the Wildcats should be receiving the ball here. And we'll set the tone as 50 seconds and counting remain here at the, or excuse me, on the game clock. Once again, for those that are just joining us, your score 28-23 in favor of the Yellow Jackets in a hard-fought game that has seen touchdown after touchdown by both offensive units.
And only one punt, we may add, combined for both teams. And that was on the first drive of the game.
Well, it should have been two punts. But, of course, the punt fake, which is probably one of your top plays of, or top, what is it, top?
Game-changing moments.
Game-changing plays or game-changing moments. As the Jackets, of course, stop them on that fourth down punt fake and score the go-ahead touchdown with 17 seconds remaining.
I don't know. They're playing another one of those inspirational videos. I think they may want to stop considering the reaction that the Jacket fans have gotten out of those. They appear to be firing up the wrong team.
And that, of course, is the intro, actually, that the Wildcats used to come out to. If it's anything like the Panther intro, there should be a beast coming out at the end to fire them up. And there come the Wildcats. And at the same time, the Jackets make their entrance into the field. Man, that's a freaking huge flag. Get a shot of that flag over there.
Wow, that is an enormous flag.
I mean, that whatever he's using to carry that looks like it's going to break. That can't be a PVC pipe.
And we should be getting underway soon for what we are expecting to be another explosive half of football.
And the third quarter is set to start here at Bobby Lackey Stadium. Yellow Jackets set to kick off, and the Wildcats making preparations for the return. Got another shout out here going out to Alyssa Garza, tuning in just right now. Hello, Alyssa. I want to welcome the 33 people that are out there tuning in to today's ballgame. Cat Salasada, that's the cat's name. Well, there's the kick, and it's a high dribbler. 21 for the Wildcats going to take it. He's immediately brought down.
Still, though, the catch with decent field position. Past the 35, I want to say maybe the 34-yard line, it looks like, for the line judge. And then we'll have a first and 10 on this crucial, crucial first drive of the second half. Again, okay. You know, I'm not in the huddle, but I do not see, in my opinion, a fired up, ready to go team.
I stand corrected. It was not Alyssa Garza. It's Alyssa Garza. Well, in any case, first and 10 here from the 34-yard line for the Wildcats.
A power, almost goal line formation for the Cats.
Oh, and no, we had number 53, Paulie Gomez, jump off sides, but he gets back in time. Actually, it was 51, Luis Escobedo.
With a flag, I believe it will be illegal motion because the tight end appeared to be moving forward at the snap of the ball. But let's wait for the call.
And, you know, that's another example there where the running back for the Wildcats is met at the line. And he just kind of pushes his way for more and more positive yards. Prior to the penalty, it would be about a 6-yard gain.
I do believe it is coming. And that was the call on the tight end moving forward at the snap of the ball. Again, a pretty unforced error on the first play. Not a good sign.
Well, it takes the Wildcats back 5 yards, and it negates the 6-7-yard run that the Wildcats managed to put up.
And the reason
prior to the penalty,
the tight end moving forward was confusion in the formation alignment.
And once again, a big defensive stop here. Got to keep the momentum for the Jackets going and keep the Wildcats sequestered as a first and 15 from the 29-yard line. Handoff up the middle. Number 58, Frank Rodriguez with a tackle.
You know, that's a good gain on first and 10. On first and 15, not really that great. A 4-yard gain.
It'll be a 4-yard gain. It'll bring the Wildcats to the 33-yard line, second and 11.
Back to the I formation for the Wildcats.
Hand off to Alvarado up the middle, and he just powers his way.
And that penalty now looking even more costly, as they have gotten 2 decent gains. They may have had a first down under normal circumstances, but not on a first and 15.
No. It's a third and
about 6.
It would have been a third and 1, but it's a third and 6 instead. And given the way the Wildcats are running the ball, 6 yards does not seem like something beyond their reach. Toss to the left. Alvarado with some room to run.
A lot of room.
Breaks the corner to the 50, to the 40. Finally brought out of bounds in Yellow Jacket territory.
Ari Tanguma, a star in the offense, now making big plays on the D. Perhaps an adjustment made by the defensive staff at the half.
That's close to about a 25-30-yard pickup for Alvarado. And it's positive yards for the Wildcats.
Now, will this give them confidence? They got that first down out of the way. Will they get confidence? We shall see.
See, and that's a big opportunity there for the Jackets that they squandered. You know, had them in a 3rd and 6, come up with a stop punt, and put some more points to the lead. But instead, now the Wildcats at their 35-yard line, the Jackets are mocking and threatening to score again. Handoff up the middle and met hard and hit hard by number 56. Is that John Castillo?
Wildcats coming out in almost a goal line formation. I guess we did not see them in the first half. Maybe that was one of the adjustments made by their staff in the locker room.
And indeed, that was number 56, John Castillo. Glad to see him back in the defensive line. I know he was injured earlier in the season, but apparently making a comeback. Second and about 8 at the 34-yard line.
Again, with a goal-like formation.
And there we have that toss. And this time, Felix Garcia comes around from the corner, forces Alvarado back inside on that toss, and just manages to trip him up. But once again, his forward momentum gives him positive yards.
You have to think, though, being on the plus 33, it looks like, this is definitely probably 2 down territory for the Wildcats, you would imagine.
Yes, it is. But so first, the Jackets have to contend with a 3rd and about 6, maybe 7, a long 6, a short 7, from the 32-yard line. Shotgun formation, and it's a pass to Alvarado, And he's got some room to run, and it's going to get the first down.
A sort of like a bubble screen there that I have not seen them run. So, again, maybe one of those new play adjustments made at the half.
And it's one of those dangerous plays because it's actually a backwards pass, or it's not really a forward pass. So he does have the option of fake, throwing it if in the event that it's a trick play of some sort.
Also, a good job of blocking by those receivers, because that play goes nowhere without receiver blocking. We know the line can block. A pistol formation, it appears to be like. First time we see this in this game.
And it's a first and 10 from the 20-yard line for the Wildcats. Handoff up the middle. And it breaks through a little seam.
They're keeping their philosophy of grinding it out. This is more their style as opposed to that big run. At least I believe it was their style as opposed to that big run. And there may be a player down. And is this... He will be attended to by the training staff.
While the trainers go ahead and take a look at him, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
Son, you know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
You're too young. You're still growing.
I know.
When you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt.
I know.
Listen, this is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. Learn more at StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Want to know what happened in tonight's game? Look online at eejackets.com for stats, highlights, pictures, and more. Again, brought to you by eejackets.com, the unofficial website of the Yellow Jackets.
Well, after the injury timeout, a second and about seven for the Wildcats in the red zone, and Alvarado's going to keep it. He's going to... Oh, that's a holding, and there's the flag there, finally.
All kinds of flags on that field.
Yeah, number 50, Georgie Vargas, with a hot pursuit there, and he was going to make the tackle and prevent Alvarado, the Wildcat running back, from getting out of around the corner, and a blatant holding is called, and the run is going to be negated.
A second and very long for the Wildcats, a position their offense is not suited for well for.
Well, the good thing about that is that the penalty happens where the... It's a spot foul is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it is a second and about 15. This offense is not built for that type of situation.
It looks actually further. It looks more like a second and 17. But you know what? Doesn't really matter. It's a second and long here. Is now the Wildcats are at about the 27-yard line, 28-yard line. It's a pass and has a receiver open and just overthrows him.
It would have been well short either way of the first down.
Well, at this point, I don't think they're trying to get a first down. At least get themselves into field goal position. They complete that. I mean, it's a second 15, second 17, whatever it is. It would have been about a 10-yard completion. That way they could at least attempt maybe they would have been kicking from the 15, would have been a 25, maybe a 33, 34-yard field goal. I think that's makeable given the kicker they have. But instead now it's a third down, and I'm sure they want to try to get something.
It is Eric Nino in the game now as a free safety, or a strong safety, as a safety position. So,
well, the way this game is going, you cannot, you got to have your best players in there. As Alvarado looked like he was going to run, and then looked like he was going to run it, but then dropped back to pass and had nobody open, so tried to run it, but then decided to pass.
Not sure. Obviously, it's too close to punt. The field goal may be too far for a high school level kicker.
The ball spotted at the 27-yard line. Given the 10 yards, it'll be a 37.
They may try a field goal.
A 43-yard field goal.
I am not sure of this young man's leg, but
well, you know, for now, 43 yards is doable.
A 45.
I think anything over 45 is now you have to have a really good kicker. And I stand corrected. It's going to be a 45-yard field goal. And it looks like it's going to be short.
Well, short.
Yeah, that's going to be well short. It barely got to the goal line. So, he would have needed at least another. He would have been needed to be closer about 15, maybe 20 yards. And the Jackets coming up with a huge defensive stop. They'll take over first and 10 at the 28-yard line. Correction, the 27-yard line. And this is the big defensive stop that we needed. And like we said, the offense for the Wildcats coming out a little flat. They did drive the ball. But Jackets coming up. Big stop as Roger handed the ball. And he's breaking tackles left and right. And he's close to that first down marker.
You know, when you're a team like this coming in for like that, you know, that upset, you come in with such an emotional high in the first half. At the halftime, it just naturally you rest and it just kind of, goes away. It's kind of hard to maintain that high emotional level after a halftime.
You know, the Jackets put a touchdown here, and I think they add another nail to the coffin right now. That'll be a huge demoralizer for the Wildcats. It's a handoff again to Roger, this time to the right. Stiff arms, one defender. Has some room to run to the 50, to the 40, to the 30. Finally brought down. No, still going. 25, the 20. A huge gain for Roger Garcia.
A 43-yard run by Roger Garcia, who seems to be returning to 0-7 form in this game.
And you know what? There is no doubt in my mind that he has already eclipsed the 1,000, the 100-yard mark for this game.
That's Tecmo Super Bowl where you in one game.
First and 10 at the 20-yard line for the Jackets. 5 minutes and 44 seconds into the third quarter as we have a jet sweep. Handoff to Smiley Morales. And he's going to be tackled for a couple yard loss.
Is there a flag?
And the Wildcats ready for that one. It was a receiver in motion from that doubles formation, and it was a quick handoff to the left. And the Wildcats doing a great job of getting outside and preventing Smiley, the ball carrier, from doing much in that particular play. But the Jackets catch a huge break here. Instead of having a 3-yard loss, we have a face mask penalty, which will give the Jackets an automatic first down and take them from the 23-yard line to the 8-yard line. First and goal. Doubles formation, and that middle's wide open. Roger with a handoff, tackled from behind. And may have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. Actually, no. It looks like he lost a yard.
This is the area where Danguma shines in the end zone.
Indeed, that short yardage pass to Danguma, given his size, he usually has a 2-3-4, even a 5-6 inch advantage over some of the defenders that are covering him. Nino from the 9-yard line drops back to pass. Has Danguma open. In and out of the hands. Well, you called it. You called it as Nino went looking for Danguma. And
he was open. Didn't have a step on the defender.
Yeah, it hit his hands, and it was just too much to handle. Might have been too much zip on that ball.
A rare sight, as his hands are usually so good in this area. Oh, in all areas, actually.
And in Danguma running a route, you don't usually see him running. You're running that slant to the middle of the field. It'll be a third down and goal from the 9-yard line. And again, Nino drops back to pass, has Roger Garcia in the flats. And he's going to be tackled short of the end zone. But he does pick up some positive yards. It'll bring a fourth down.
Jackets appear to be going for the jugular with this drive.
And the fans calling for the Jackets to go for it on fourth down. You have to wonder, is Solis going to make it an 8-point lead and kick a field goal? Or is he going to go for it? He's going for it.
Again, I would keep my eye on Thanguma.
He is going for it. Fourth down and about two from the 2-yard line. And the option, Nino keeps it. Touchdown, Yellow Jackets. And this is another one of your game-changing plays. I think any coach would, I personally would have kicked the field goal. I would have kicked the field goal, give the Jackets an 8-point advantage. Solis, that's why he gets paid the big bucks, made the decision, went for the touchdown. It pays off. Your score now, pending the PAT, 34-23 in favor of the Yellow Jackets.
Also, how many unforced errors have the Wildcats made in this two series alone? A holding, a personal foul, again, beating themselves. The Jackets don't need any help. Beating yourself isn't going to help any at all.
That's the testament of a championship team. Who makes the least amount of unforced errors? The PAT is up, and it is good. We now have a 35-23 advantage, and a lot of time, courtesy and thankfully to the West Coast Wildcats, taken away from these two drives. You know, when the Jackets took over, I think they might have eaten maybe 2, maybe 3 minutes of the clock, but the remaining 5 minutes of that clock, 6 minutes of that clock, was eaten away by that East drive. You know, now the East Wildcats find themselves down by, 7 plus 5, 12? You have to wonder, are they going to continue to try to punch the ball, or are they going to speed it up?
I think they will.
Turn to the pass.
But if they do not come out with some kind of score, this drive, this game, could very well get out of hand very soon.
Actually, Linda, just to address your question, I am a coach. Woo! Well, the kickoff and given the return of the Wildcats, it looks to be near the 35-yard line.
The Wildcats do come up with the ball.
Bit of a scramble there as players were saying that the ball came loose, but referees don't hear anything of it, and the Wildcats will take over first and 10 from their own 35-yard line with 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Your score, 35-23 in favor of the Jackets. And there's the pass. Has the receiver open in the flats, number 2, with a little bit of running room. Maybe about an 8-yard gain. And, no surprise here that the Wildcats are maybe finding themselves a little more willing to gamble, a little more willing to press the ball.
Yeah, it was also a nice, safe throw that the quarterback could complete easily, give him some confidence in case he needs to throw further down the field later on in this game. They're sticking with that unusual pistol formation made famous by the University of Nevada. And it's a big gainer.
First down.
Going back to the money man, Alvarado.
And that's a close to a 10-yard gain. And they enter Yellow Jacket territory. And, you look at the last three plays, and it's effortlessly. An effortless movement of the ball by the Wildcats. And, if the Jackets expect to come up with a big stop here, you can't be giving up those kind of plays.
You know, now you can sense that urgency from the Wildcats that voice is needed, because if you're going to make a comeback in a game like this. And again, another unforced error. The Wildcats being their own worst enemy so far. Another 1st and 15 situation after another needless penalty.
Yeah, do want to remind those of you that you are tuning in, your score right now, with 3 minutes and 33 seconds remaining in the third quarter, at Cauchosa 35, Weslaco 23. You are listening to Ed Cauchosa Sports Radio as that penalty takes them out of Yellow Jacket territory at the 49. Handoff up the middle, plenty of room to run. Oh, man. Isaac Bravo making a huge tackle there. If he misses that tackle, that's a 51-yard touchdown.
Pretty close. He was one move away.
Touchdown-saving tackle. And it's going to be close to about a 12-yard, 11-yard gain. It'll bring up a second and about three, maybe four. And right there, the Wildcats make up a lot of yardage and negate the penalty that they got earlier in the previous play. Handoff, once again, similar play. Powering through the line, Alvarado.
The fullback there, dangerously close to getting a procedure penalty for moving forward before the snap.
And I think that's what our defensive coordinator is addressing with the referee, but it's he's not going to call it.
It was close. Wildcats looking like they did in the first half, counting, putting the ball in the hands of their money man, Alvarado.
First and 10 from the 34-yard line. Hand off to the fullback, and he tries to go through the middle of the interior part of the defensive line, and is
a modest gain, about 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah, he does push his way through that interior part. Ball at the 30-yard line brings up a second down and a long six as 1 minute and 48 seconds remain in the third quarter. Motion to the right, and you have to wonder if they're going to toss to the right, and there it is, a toss to the right, and the Jackets there in coverage, and who was that? Is that Joseph Garcia? Joseph Garcia with a vicious tackle on Andrew Alvarado. You have to admit he felt that one.
Yeah. Right in the knees.
Check out that replay. Wow.
Yeah, the Wildcats may have telegraphed that too much with that formation there.
And you know that the toss, one of the early successful plays in the first quarter for the Wildcats, and now you know you see them trying to run it, and it's not having nearly the type of successes as those corners are becoming more and more confident stepping up. But at the same time, you have to wonder, they got to also play pass. So look for the Wildcats to maybe pass and maybe this down or next down.
Timeout by the Wildcats.
And a third and eight situation. Coach Guerra for the Wildcats decides to talk it over a little bit. Calls timeout, and it's the first timeout of the second half.
What surprises me is that I believe in this half we have not seen that two tight end formation out of the shotgun with Alvarado quarterback, a very successful gouging the Jacket defense in the first half, and yet we have not seen that formation, I believe, once in this second half. I am very surprised by that. Sometimes you over-adjust yourself sometimes at halftime, it appears.
A couple fans here in the chat room are asking about Tony Sanchez. I know we haven't called his name a lot tonight, but I'm scanning the field and I see him out there. He is indeed out there. He has indeed had a couple big hits, a couple big plays, you know, but the interior part of the defensive line playing really big big game so far in the second half. Haven't really had a chance to call Tony's name. Well, it's a big third down and eight. Shotgun rolling to the left, has the receiver open. Just tucks it in, and he's going to run with the ball.
And he has the first down. Excellent scramble. The quarterback, not aware. I guess he's a dual threat quarterback. Wasn't aware, but he tucks away that play and gets just enough for the first down.
And
the quarter is coming to a close. The Wildcats running out of possessions, running out of time.
Number 33, Charlie Garcia and Tony Sanchez. There's Tony's name. In on the tackle. Good enough for a first down, though. not quite in the red zone as the Wildcats take over the 23. Handoff to Rick Alanis. And he pushes his way for a couple yards. Oh, we got a turnover here. Number 53, Paul Gomez, running off the field with the ball. He's saying he's got it, and the refs agree. Looking at the replay, yeah, that was out, wasn't it?
You see that? It did look like it was out.
Well, you know what? It was a very similar situation that happened to Roger. He was falling down, and the ball came out as he was falling down with a pile of people on top of him, and somebody just scoops it up for the Yellow Jackets. Very similar type of fumble that Roger had earlier in the game. Now the West Coast Wildcats return the favor here deep in territory. They would have been in the red zone with that carry.
How many times have the Wildcats shot themselves in the foot already? I've lost count.
Well, it's first and 10 as Nino keeps it. And picks up a very, very small gain.
Maybe one.
As 5 seconds and counting remain here in the third quarter, and we're off to the fourth. Well, while we take a quick shot here of the scoreboard, we'll use this as an opportunity to give a shout out to our sponsor, JBR Digital Imaging.
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchesa Sports Radio.
Second and 9 here for the Yellow Jackets at the 20-yard line. Nino drops back to pass. Scrambles. Has a little room to run. Face mask. Oh, they're not going to call that. And he gets up visibly upset because of the face mask, but no flags on the field. And it'll be chalked up close to maybe a 6-yard gain. It'll bring up a 3rd down and 4 close to the 30-yard line, or excuse me, the 25-yard line.
Only one touchdown scored in that third quarter after the fireworks of the first half.
Indeed. 3rd and 4, and this is a big play here for the Jackets. Option to the left, and he's going to have some room to run. Nino keeps it. Oh, I have to question that play. Oh, man.
Wow.
You know, he's been really successful with that. He's faked the pitch and kept it. This time, it didn't work out the way he would have liked to. And he had he pitched the ball, we definitely would have had the first down. But instead, we are now with a 4th and 1. And the punting unit is entering the field right now. Solis, of course, not going to make the same mistake that the Westlake East Wildcat coach made earlier by not punting the ball away here deep in their own territory.
And with a 12-point lead, this is definitely the right call.
Yeah, as 10 minutes and 30 seconds now remain in the fourth quarter. Yellow Jackets will punt. Miguel Garcia gets off a really good punt. Wow! Oh, come on! Stop, baby! Stop! Stop! Oh, man!
My goodness, on officially a 72-yard punt. That will definitely help your net average.
You know what? That ball flew, and it probably flew about maybe 50 yards in the air, maybe 55 yards, and it took another roll about 15, 20 yards, and it almost came to a stop at the 1-yard line, but instead it rolls just another yard further, 1 yard into the end zone, and unfortunately it's ruled as a touchback.
You know, that was from the line of scrimmage. When you include the distance from the snap, that's an over an 80-yard punt.
That was an unbelievable punt. Great job there. As it'll actually be netted as a 10, 20, 30, 40, close to 45-yard punt after the 20-yard spot. Well, Wildcats up to pass. Hits Alvarado in the middle. tackled for a huge gain. Sorry, we're getting a little excited there about the punt. We completely forgot about the Wildcats taking over. And the Wildcats strike first, strike hard as they, you know, as they feel themselves, as we mentioned earlier, their opportunities quickly slipping away. They're changing. You know, when we only saw two passes in the first half, you know, now we've seen close to about six or seven passes so far in just the third quarter and this beginning of the fourth quarter alone. First and 10 for the 42-yard line for the Wildcats. Handoff to Alvarado to the right.
Wow, a very slow developing play there.
It was from the doubles formation, right? It was Alvarado with a jet sweep. Right. But, I think they looked like they snapped the ball a little too early. They didn't give him enough of a chance to...
Right. The quarterback was holding
the timing was
the ball
off
out there for about 2 seconds.
Minutes and 20 seconds as the clock continues to count here in the fourth quarter. 35 to 23, your score in favor of the Yellow Jackets. A bit of trickery there. Ends up biting the Wildcats in the butt.
What was that?
Well, it was in a shotgun formation. Quarterback fakes the pass and then in a delayed handoff, which was, it looked more like actually a counter, hands the ball off and the delay cost the Wildcats as I didn't get to see the number. One of the Jacket defenders comes in and tackles the Wildcat for about a 2-yard loss. It'll bring up third and about 8 from the 44-yard line of the Wildcats. Trips formation to the left. And there we see that pass again. Favorite pass of the Wildcats.
Oh, dropped wide open. Annette again. Another one of those unforced errors. Boy, when the Wildcats watch this film tomorrow, they are going to kick themselves.
There's about close to about 2,000 fans that just on the Wesico East Wildcat that just went, oh, and just hit themselves on the head as that's an automatic first down. He makes that catch. It's right in his hands. There was no pressure. The nearest defender about 5-6 yards away. He wasn't going to get hit on it, and it just dribbles out of his hands.
Add that to the holding. Illegal procedure. Personal fouls. Wow, they're really going to kick themselves when they see this film tomorrow.
Well, it was a fourth down, and Kat Salazar, the center for the Wildcats, punting the ball. Roger, unable to handle the ball. The Wildcats now catch a break.
Wow, the heart. After being hard luck this whole second half, they come up with a big break. Amazing. But, you know, those are the types of mistakes on the other team you need to pull off an upset.
Now on the opposite end, you have 3,000 Yellow Jacket fans hitting themselves on the head saying, oh, man, don't.
We'll see.
As the Jackets give the ball back to the Wildcats deep in Ed Calchosa territory.
I think
at the 22-yard line.
The trickery go by the wayside and see them go back to their traditional power running game. Or
nope.
Not.
No. They're going to be content with trying to pass the ball here. The Wildcats with a trips formation to the left. And, yep, it's that pass. And it's that same pass play. And the Jackets having difficulty covering it.
Another drop. Wow.
And you know, it's a very simple play. You have the fullback coming out into the flats. And it appears to be... Is it the two tight ends that are coming out?
No, it's kind of that flood route that most teams have in there. You send it back to the flat. You send the inside slot or tight end on a corner route, kind of stretch the zone defense. It worked, but you got to catch the ball. It working is not, you have to catch it to pull it off.
Yeah, that's another opportunity squandered by the Wildcats as the ball in and out of the hands of another Wildcat receiver. And definitely would have been close to a 10-yard gain there had the receiver held on to the ball. Instead, it's a second and 10 from the 22-yard line as the quarterback goes under center and he spikes the ball. That was very, very unusual.
Not sure.
Was the play clock about to run out?
Yes, but they do have two timeouts. Some kind of strange.
That was a very strange play there.
Not...
I think they ran. I was looking at the play clock. It said 00. I think they ran out of time there, and to preserve the penalty, which I have to question that call.
But you have two timeouts.
You have two timeouts. Call a timeout. Don't spike the ball.
That's like a key drive. You just.
But you know that's just a mistake that could hurt them now, because they now have a 3rd and 10 from the 22-yard line. And there's that flood route again. Oh, it's going to be picked off by 26, Felix Garcia. And, you know, that's another unforced error. Another unforced error. Because that ball should not have been picked off.
See the replay here. Wow, off the hands of the Westlake East receiver, right into the hands of the... Wow.
Another unforced error. The Wildcat receiver comes up with that pass. It's a first down. You know, instead, it squips through his hands, and it's an interception.
You know, the Jackets are a great team, but it seems tonight the worst enemy of the East Wildcats is the East Wildcats. They can't seem to get out of their own way.
Well, with 8 minutes now remaining in the fourth quarter, the Jackets take over at the 20-yard line. We see that tight formation is number 24. Who the heck is number 24? Let me check my roster here. DJ Villalpando, holy smokes. You know, is something wrong with Roger?
I do not believe so.
There he is. Roger coming back into the game. Running, he appears to be jogging a little bit nimble. Tenderly. I have
gingerly.
To wonder.
Gingerly.
Gingerly? Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's Layton.
Hey, you know, I don't think anyone would have known.
Speaking of which, I see him right there as I speak. Mr. Layton on his feet, enjoying the game like all the other fans.
Well, the Villalpando's carry, good for 4 yards, brings up a 2nd and 6 from the 25 in that tight formation. And a handoff to Roger, and he's going to break through the line for the first down. Oh, God. Come on, Miguel Garcia. Did you see that?
What happened?
Our punter there was practicing through this on the sideline, and they have that punter's net, and he just kind of he punts it too high instead of punting it at that angle that they're supposed to, so it kind of slipped through the net there, and it goes onto the field.
I hate to belabor this point, but I think you would agree with me, and the fans watching at home, this whole game turned on that fake punt.
I think you're right.
These errors were not happening in the first half.
1st and 10, and we have a trap play to Alex Cisneros, and fights his way for some positive yards.
You know, in the first half, there was no holdings or personal fouls, maybe one. That play happens, all of a sudden, they just can't get out of their own way. It's like trying to run with your shoelaces tied together.
Well, it's a 2nd down and maybe about 7 from the 37-yard line. Officially, it'll be a 3-yard gain for Alex Cisneros, the ball carrier, as Artie Tanguma in motion. And we have that option. Tanguma lead blocking for... Oh, Nino has plenty of room to run. Crosses the 50, the 40. Still in bounds. Oh, no. They're going to call him out of bounds at the 37-yard line. So from... 137-yard line. He makes it all the way across to the other 37-yard line.
And the competitiveness of this game seems to just be dying down. Jack has had this well in hand, and one touchdown would have certainly put the team away. There's 6:03 left in the fourth quarter.
Officially a 26-yard gain there.
Oh, okay. Oh, big hit by the Wildcat defense, but unfortunately it's a case of too little too late at this point of the game.
It was a Roger Garcia on a sweep play, or actually had a guard there leading for him, but excellent job there by the Wildcat defender to break through the guard's block and make that tackle.
Yes.
First and 10 from the 2nd and 10 from the 37-yard line. Officially a no-yard gain as Nino keeps it. Has some room to run up the middle on the option play.
Wow, it's a lot of carries for the quarterback. You have to wonder how long before that starts taking a toll on his body late into the season.
Yeah, and you know what? I think he's maybe pitched it once. They've run that option play maybe six times already, and I think he's only pitched the ball once. Maybe not even once.
Especially on a game that apparently seems to be out of hand already in favor of the Jackets.
Well, you know, and that's just a classic example of when you have a great field general. You know, he's the type of guy that's, you know, a quarterback, Eric Nino, that's going to take the game into his hands and win it. As the Jackets now have a third and about two from the 28-yard line. And there's that draw up the middle for the quarterback, and he's going to be close.
Does not appear to have it, but you would have to think this late in the game with this lead, you may just go ahead and go for it and put the game away for good. Uh-oh. Here's what we're talking about. You know, he's a tough kid, but I don't know, running this often in a 14-point game with 4 minutes to go, I mean, I don't know. Your quarterback, everybody knows how valuable a quarterback is to a team. As you said, the field general, leader of the team, the playmaker. Let's just hope this is just a crab of some kind.
Well, the carry by Nino maybe picks up a yard. We'll bring up a fourth and one. And with 4 minutes and 13 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter with a 12-point lead, I'm pretty sure Solis here is going to go for it on fourth and one. As Eric Nino makes his way, or yep, gets up on his own power, and is making his way off the field.
He appears to be okay. Perhaps just maybe a cramp. I don't know, the way he's stretching out of the leg. Maybe it could be. But we do not know. He must come out a play as by rule. So we will see the backup quarterback unless the Jackets do call a timeout. But being fourth down, well, we do not know. Nino can come back if the Jackets elect to call a timeout. They have all three. You are allowed. An injured player can come back if a timeout is called.
And you have to wonder who's going to take the snap right now. And it appears to be number four.
Number 18. Not sure who that is.
Oh, stand corrected. Isaac Brown is going to take the snap here on this huge down as the Jackets are going to call timeout. And I'm sure they're going to want Nino back in that game there.
Sure.
So we got a timeout here with 3 minutes and 58 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. The Jackets holding on to a 12-point lead, 35-23 over the West Laguna East Wildcats. Anything you want to add before we take a quick break?
Nope. Neil appears to be fine. He appears to be coming back into the game.
All right. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, home of La Máquina Amarilla.
Red Defender! That huge asteroid is headed towards Earth!
I'll handle this.
The Red Defender hurtles towards the asteroid!
You saved us! How?
I stopped the asteroid and reversed it back into space.
The moon! It's exploded!
Where did you throw that asteroid?
Away.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is! One pint of blood can save up to 3 lives.
Fourth and one play. Quarterback Eric Nino back in the game, and it's going to be a quarterback keeper. He's going to split through the middle of the defense, and he picks up more than that 1 yard.
Yeah, just putting the icing on the proverbial victory cake.
You know, wow. You hate to see something like that happen, where it's a fourth and one, and you, your defense is all stacked up the middle. You know they're going to run up the middle, and they split your defense like that. The Wildcats are very fortunate to make the tackle, but not after Nino picks up close to 8 yards, 9 yards on the play, and it'll be a first and 10 in the red zone from the 17-yard line, or 18-yard line. Hand off to Roger, and he's going to be met at the line, and he's going to lose some yardage. No, he might pick up a yard or two.
Wildcat defense showing some pride and still stepping up, even though the game is pretty much out of hand by now.
All Well, it is a one-yard gain there for Roger Garcia. Bring up a 2nd and 9. Ball at the 17-yard line. And right now, more important, the clock just continues to tick away. 3 minutes and 4 seconds counting down here as the Jackets are threading the score again. And there is virtually no life coming from the Wildcat sideline or from the bleachers. Hand off to Roger. And maybe a yard or two. And here's what you were talking about earlier.
What's that?
Just handing the ball off up the middle. Just trying to run the clock out. Yeah, you know, there's no theatrics whatsoever.
Yeah, no need to put any of your superstars into any more jeopardy than they have to be.
Well, with a 12-point lead, I have to agree with you because it's obviously a two-possession game for the Wildcats. And the Wildcats are going to talk it over as the Jackets have a 3rd and 7. And Wildcats call timeout. Well, I'll use this opportunity to send a shout-out to my sponsor, JBR Digital Imaging, a local photography company who brings us all the photos that you have probably seen before on eejackets.com. He is the photographer, Mr. George E. Sines, class of 1976, and JBR Digital Imaging. His photos are available at dotphoto.com, but you should probably visit eejackets.com/JBR to find out more information about checking out those photos and possibly purchasing them if you have family or friends or if you're just a Yellow Jacket fan in general. Let me go ahead and play his promo real quick, and then we'll be back from this timeout.
When it comes to our photography needs, eejackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
Once again, JBR Digital, proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. Scroll down to see his advertisement. 3rd and 7 here as Nino drops back to pass. Throws it to Alex Cisneros, who comes up with a big catch. 1st down, Yellow Jackets at the 2-yard line. The hell no. Now, you got to understand that there is still 2 minutes left in this ball game, and if they don't put any points up here on the board, I know the Wildcats are going to try to put points. I'm going for the score. I think this is definitely within the bounds of the game as far as its integrity.
Well, it is the defensive job to stop you.
Yeah. Well, it's a 1st and goal from the 2-yard line.
It's at number 4 territory.
And that's a pitch to Alex Cisneros. Touchdown.
And he walks in there untouched. That would have been good in flag football.
It was a handoff or a fake handoff to the middle. And the Cisneros from the wideout position comes around the back. And it's, yeah, like you said, he walks into the end zone. And the Jackets putting up another touchdown, making this game seem a lot further away than it initially appeared to be in the first half.
Yeah, well, I mean, I go back to that play, that turning point of the game, undoubtedly. They just never seemed to be the same. After that play, there was illegal procedures, there was holdings, there was personal fouls, there was dropped passes. It's like a whole other team. You have to wonder how their confidence would have been if they would have gone in at the half with the lead. How would they have been in the second half? You have to ask yourself that.
And once again, those are one of the many questions that could be pondered as I take a quick look to the scoreboard. The PAT attempt was good, and the Jackets now hold on to a 42-23 advantage. And you have to wonder, you know, the Wildcats have come out empty-handed here in this second half, have not scored any points whatsoever. Is this a testament to the Ed Calchosa defense, or is this a testament to the number of errors that the Wildcats have made? What do you credit here?
As always, it's a little bit of both. They had plenty of yards this half. That's no question about that. But how many turnovers were in the red zone and so forth? So it's a combination of both, and I hope they don't put that kiss cam our way.
The kiss cam coming there on the scoreboard, that would not be cool at all.
So, as always, this is a little bit of both. But, you know, again, we mentioned in the pregame warm-ups how the Jackets had that relaxed, been here before kind of look. Wildcats seemed kind of tense and scared, and that showed big time in this half.
And there's the kickoff by Miguel Garcia. It's going to squibble past the first two lines of defense. Number 11, the guy you didn't want the ball to get into, gets possession of the ball, and Roger Garcia steps up on the kickoff team and makes a huge tackle there. You know, wow, if Alvarado gets around Roger, he's going to pick up 15, 20 yards easy on that return.
Right. Well, I think it's safe to say we can start looking towards the next game, which is...
The next game, which is... Valley View.
At home?
At home, yeah.
Well, should be a good game for the Jackets. Of course, you can never sleep on Dave Evans and his team, crafty veteran himself. The Jackets will definitely be huge favorites going into that game. But
well, you know,
Valley View's
been playing pretty good ball.
They've been playing solid football. Like,
before we get to them, let's see, because you know the Wildcats going to try to put some points up here. And O-lineman for the Wildcats jumping, and it's going to be 5 yards.
Yeah, they've just been a mess psychologically this second half. Back to the Valley View, you know Dave Evans is going to bring that running game that he was so that he became known for it there in Donna.
Well, after the penalty, brings up a 1st and 15 from the 21-yard line. 2 minutes remaining here as the Jackets holding on to a 19-point lead now. 42-23 over the Wildcats.
Pitching a shutout in the second half, although they did have a little help from the Wildcats themselves.
Indeed. Option play. Quarterback keeps it. Looks very remnant of Nino, but number 61, Luis Escobedo, from the ground, trips up the quarterback and prevents him from getting any further yards. But good enough to pick up close to 5. It'll bring it back to the original line of scrimmage. 2nd and 10. From the 26-yard line. 1 minute and 34 seconds as the clock continues to roll down here. And we see that pass play again. And fullback wide open, but the pass just not on the money.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about this. Do 4 teams make the playoffs here, or is it 3?
It's 4 teams.
I judging on tonight, I do think Westlake East should be a solid lock for a playoff spot, either a 3rd or 4th.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Westlake East is going to take down Valley View, Roma. They're definitely going to take down one of the mission schools. I'm not sure which it is, and they might even take down Mercedes. That's going to be a good game between them.
And let's not forget the surprise team this year, the Lincoln Juarez. You know, they've been struggling on defense, but their offense is, my goodness, amazing, putting up ridiculous numbers every week.
Yeah, East is definitely a playoff contending team.
You know, you have to wonder if they would get out of their own way, how good they can be.
And number 53, Paulie Gomez there, jumping up high in the air and getting cut. Looks kind of nasty, but he appears to be okay as he gets up on the pass attempt by number 8 for the Wildcats.
At this point, you just want everybody here to come out healthy on both sides of the ball, both teams. Thankfully, Nino and Roger, they had little scares, but they appear to be fine and healthy. They went back into the game. Wildcats, I believe, have not had any major injuries, so they have a good future towards them. So this game's winding down. We're down to the last minute.
It's going to be a 4th and 10 here as the Wildcats are pushing to score.
Score?
I don't know. It's because we're disconnected. Apologize there, a bit of connection problems.
A lot of, even the Elsa fans are leaving now, probably trying to beat the line of Cetos right across the street from here, which actually is a pretty good idea.
Once again, apologize. There are a bit of difficulties, connection problems. Wildcats with a 4th and 10 opportunity. And on the pass attempt, quarterback having no options, throws the ball out of bounds. And the Jackets take over as 22 seconds. Well, the first play was a running play to DJ Villalmando.
That should be the last play of the game, I believe.
He picks up 10 yards. And, yeah, this looking at the game clock, there's 18 seconds and there's 19 seconds on the play clock. They're not even going to run a play. Oh, well, you know, it looks like they might run a play. Isaac Bravo at the quarterback position.
And that is the ball game.
And they're not going to run a play. That's ball game, folks.
And the final score is the Ed Couch Yellow Jackets, Ed Couch Elsa Yellow Jackets 42, the West Local East Wildcats 23.
That is your ball game here. Once again, as pointed out, 42-23, your final here at Bobby Lackey Stadium. Yellow Jackets now stand 1-0 in district play as the Wildcats of West Laco East go to 0-1. And just to kind of sum up things as far as how the teams are doing, the other 1-0 teams in district play are the Mercedes Tigers. They took down a very feisty Mission Eagles team. And I want to say the other team that played was Mission Veterans and Valley View. And I don't remember the final, but I have to say Mission Veterans took that game.
They did 25-13, I believe, was the final score.
So as far as we know, your three undefeated teams in district are Mission Veterans, the Mercedes Tigers, and, of course, the Ed Couch Chelsea Yellow Jackets.
And the Lincoln Juarez
Huskies. That's right.
Huskies, I believe.
They beat Roma.
Yes.
So four teams now at 1-0 in district play. Our next opponent, like we mentioned earlier, will be the Valley View Tigers. That game scheduled at home on October 3rd. Definitely like to welcome all of you guys out there to go and check that game out. But, of course, if you will not be available, that game will be broadcast here on Ed Couch Chelsea Sports Radio. Any final comments before we...
In my opinion, I thought coming into this game that this would be their hardest challenge. It might, but seeing with the D's susceptibility to the run tonight in the first half, you know, a team like Lincoln Juarez may give them a problem. They got that. They have a similar slot team that the Jackets run, putting up all kinds of points, and they also have an experienced passer, and I believe RJ Alaniz, a transfer
from Rio Grande City.
When that zoning came out, he happens to go in that zone, I believe. So they have that same, and they have the passing ability. You know, East didn't seem to have the passing ability. We shall see. Also, East got in their own way countless times ever since that first half debacle at the end of the first half. So it's going to be interesting. You know, every week's going to be, you know, a tough. And I think it's also a case of the Wildcats being in the spotlight like this for the first time. The only game of the only game of significance in the Valley going on tonight. You know, they kind of wilted under the pressure of the spotlight. You know, you go to Lincoln Juarez, they got experienced senior and RJ Alaniz, a quarterback. They have an experienced senior back who played in La Jolla back before the split. Their experience and so forth. So we shall see. Valley View again. I'm sure the Jackets will be favored by a large margin. But, you know, you can never sleep on Dave Evans and that running game he brings. As the East show, the Jackets are susceptible to the run. At least they were in the first half.
And, of course, Dave Evans credited for bringing up a Valley View program. Valley View, of course, getting their first win of the year. Or, excuse me, their first win ever in varsity play last year against the... Mercedes Tigers. And definitely a program that is on the rise. Not a team to be counted out. I know they gave PI a good game. That game was a close one. I want to say it was a 14-0 game at halftime. And then it ended up being like 19-0 or something like that.
I believe it was tied at 3 at halftime.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. It was tied.
It ended 17-3.
Yes, you're right.
again, they're definitely a good team. Cannot rest on the coast. I'm sure Evans is going to watch countless hours of films, going to come up with some kind of game plan. So I'm also looking ahead. Mercedes Trevino kind of busted out, had his breakout game. Kind of had a game we were expecting him to have the whole year. Great speed. And again, with Jackets showing susceptibility to the run, they also have a quarterback in, I think, Albert Chavez, who's a better passer. East, very one-dimensional. Could not complement that great rushing attack with a passing attack. You know, they ran that flood several times, and it was open several times. They just dropped the pass a lot. Yep. So, again, how will this fare with a more balanced, better passer behind the center for the opposing team? We shall see. It's going to be, it's going to be exciting as usual.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of teams will be looking at tonight's ball game and using the ways that, or trying to replicate the ways that the Wildcats took advantage of the Yellow Jackets in a lot of situations. And as we mentioned earlier, a lot of unforced errors by the Wildcats could have placed this game a lot closer than it ended up being.
Right, you know, and then you have the Mission Schools who tend to turn it on late in the season. For whatever reason, they seem to start slow, but they do kind of tend to pour it on late, as Mission last year was a very close game with the Jackets until, I believe, two interception returns kind of just turned the tide of that game. Mission Veterans in a very close game last year, Jackets pulling it out with literally seconds remaining in that game. So, there will also be, you know, there's always the pressure of being the five-time district champion, but now you add the pressure to being number one in the Valley, you know, and the people on the forums, people in the streets, in the cafes saying, well, I think those Fresnos, no, I think Ed Calchelsa should be number one. So you have kind of that, I guess sort of a monkey or a chip on your shoulder that you, okay, look, we're number one, you know, you want to prove it out, maybe you try too hard sometimes, make too much happen instead of, you know, letting the game come to you. So all that can play a factor. But the experience of the championship is a valuable tool, as I think really showed tonight in the second half.
You know, you brought up a very good point there. Obviously, I think for the team, rankings are, even for the coaches, rankings are virtually meaningless. Or not meaningless, but they don't emphasize them very much. Rankings are a thing that, you know, is designed to appeal to the fans and to entice them and get them excited. The big issue is going to be whether the Yellow Jackets and their victory tonight was convincing enough to retain their spot for number one. You know, of course, the Los Fresnos Falcons defeating the Weslaco High Panthers on this very field last night, 35-28.
And again, at the tide of that game, turned on a personal foul call after a third and long, I believe.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to wonder, did the Jackets convincingly beat the Wildcats to retain that thing? Well, to me, it doesn't really matter. I think it's going to boil down to what the guys that get paid to do this think about it.
Right. Well, fans love the rankings, like you say, but it's usually for a team, it's usually a burden more often than not. So you know.
Yeah. When you're in the top, you're, you know, there's a spotlight shining on you 24/7.
Right. Well, you know, some teams, you know, being the number one team in a game may save their season, may save a coach's job or something. So it's always going to be big, and everyone's going to be gunning for you crazy.
Well, as the numbers begin to dwindle here, I do want to thank you guys for tuning in. Any final comments before we sign off?
No, just looking forward to the Valley View game and be back at home. Be good to be back in the Yellow Jacket Stadium. And it's going to be interesting to see how all these races play out. Again, it's not a dangerous team, but I wouldn't sleep on Mercedes, even though they've had their struggles. I think they had some off the field issues early in the season. They seem to have gotten past those. We shall see if now they can focus on football. They're a very dangerous team. Have a good quarterback, two very good running backs. Israel Vela, I believe, is the name of the other running back, who kind of gets lost under the spotlight of Alex Trevino, but he is a good back in his own right and very dangerous, and also a game breaker. So should be, and you know, Mercedes and Calchosa, Mercedes is going to bring it. You know, it's that old cliche about throw the record out. It's very true in that series.
Well, do want to thank you for tuning in. This was a production of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio in association or in conjunction with EEJackets.com. I, of course, am the host with the most, Perry Ellis, and I was joined by
Doc.
And we are signing off. Thanks for tuning in. Adios.
When When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
Can't make the big Yellow Jacket game this weekend? Don't worry. Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio has you covered. Working in conjunction with EEJackets.com, Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio is working to broadcast all the big Ed Calchelsa sporting events over the internet. Visit www.eejackets.com for the latest internet broadcasting schedule.